Laudato Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Monday, June 9th, Pope Leo XIV presides over Mass for the Jubilee of the Holy See. He says the best way to serve the Holy See is by striving to be holy. And Pope Leo leads the procession through the Holy Door, personally carrying the cross. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov. Beginning with the Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV's activities this morning were connected with the Jubilee of the Holy See. That Jubilee, the event of the Holy Year 2025, was dedicated to the employees of the Holy See. The day began at 9 a.m. with the opportunity for participating personnel to receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation, held in the atrium of the Vatican's Paul VI Hall. At 10 a.m., also in the Paul VI Hall, Sister Maria Gloria Riva, a nun of the Perpetual Adorers of the Blessed Sacrament, led a meditation for everyone in the presence of Pope Leo XIV. At 10:30 a.m., the procession began, led by the Holy Father carrying the Jubilee Cross, followed by cardinals, bishops, and priests, and then lay personnel. The procession moved from the Paul VI Hall to the Parvis of St. Peter's Basilica, where participants passed through the Holy Door. The Eucharistic celebration, presided over by the Pope, took place shortly after 11:30 a.m. in St. Peter's Basilica, marking the conclusion of the Jubilee pilgrimage. Staying with that Mass, the Pope had celebrated for officials of the Roman Curia on the Jubilee. He recalled that the Apostolic See draws its fruitfulness from Jesus Christ and the example of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Devin Watkins tells us more.
As the Church marks the Jubilee of the Holy See, Pope Leo XIV spent Monday morning with employees and officials of the Roman Curia. In his homily at Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, the Pope reflected on the spiritual foundations of the Apostolic See. The Gospel reading from John, he said, recounts that Jesus entrusted his mother to the beloved disciple from the cross. Pope Leo added that the Church's fruitfulness is the very fruitfulness of Mary, which is realized in the lives of the Church's individual members. Each Christian, he said, is called to live the love of Jesus as experienced on the cross.
La fecondità della Chiesa è la stessa fecondità di Maria.
This fruitfulness of Mary and of the Church is inseparably linked to her conformity to Christ, said the Pope. The Holy See is holy as the Church is holy, in her original core, in the fabric from which she is woven. Pope Leo said the Apostolic See safeguards the holiness of her roots just as she is safeguarded by that same holiness. It is no less true that she also lives in the holiness of each of her members, he said.
Il modo migliore di servire la Santa Sede.
The best way to serve the Holy See, he added, is to strive to be holy, each of us according to his or her state of life and the task entrusted. He offered the example of a priest bearing a heavy personal burden due to his ministry who continues to carry out his work in his Holy See office as best he can with love and faith. A lay curial official with a difficult home life, said the Pope, also bears witness to the fruitfulness of Mary and the Church when he or she carries on their work with commitment. The Church's fruitfulness, said Pope Leo, is always connected to the grace that flowed from the pierced heart of Jesus, along with blood and water, which are symbols of the sacraments. In conclusion, Pope Leo XIV invited employees and officials of the Holy See to let God's word be a lamp to light their steps. I'm Devin Watkins.
Staying with the Jubilee, in an interview with Vatican Media, the Vatican Secretary of State highlighted the Jubilee of the Holy See as a privileged moment of encounter and reflection, especially for the Vatican diplomatic corps. Linda Bordoni reports.
It's a key moment of unity for the Church's diplomatic service, Cardinal Parolin noted, as apostolic nuncios, who often live far from Rome, come together as one family around the Pope, renewing the bond between the universal and local church. Describing their role as both diplomatic and pastoral, nuncios, he explained, represent the Holy Father to states and local churches, working to promote peace, dialogue, and religious freedom. But they're also pastors, he said, men of the church called to reflect the example of Christ, the Good Shepherd. In today's challenging global landscape, the cardinal highlighted three essential qualities for papal diplomats: humility, evangelical zeal, and a spirit of reconciliation. Vatican diplomacy, he explained, is not about power, but about service rooted in the gospel. And looking ahead, the Vatican Secretary of State mentioned the recent reforms to the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy, which aim to form priests who are both professionally prepared and spiritually grounded. Concluding, Cardinal Parolin repeated the late Pope Francis's invitation to be sowers of peace, reminding all pontifical representatives that the other is never just an adversary, but always a human being open to dialogue. I'm Linda Bordoni.
In other news, let's start with a quote. This film, with the hope-filled voices of Palestinian and Israeli children, will be a great contribution to fraternity, social friendship, and peace. That was the quote of the late Pope Francis's review of I Bambini di Gaza, or How Kids Roll, which came out last year. The film tells the story of two children, one who is Palestinian and the other who is Israeli, who are brought together by the love of surfing. Its director, Laura Sly, recently paid a visit to Vatican News' offices in Rome. We asked him whether, in the context of the Jubilee Year of Hope, how he would describe his film as a story of hope.
Definitely. I mean, the film embodies exactly that message because it's told by through the eyes of kids, which they definitely represent the future, they definitely represents the next generation. So if we do have hope anywhere, it's because of them.
How did you, in this film, strike that, I think, difficult balance between, on the one hand, realism, and on the other hand, hope?
Well, obviously, when you do a narrative film, fictional film, that the word itself says is, you know, it's not the reality. Mm-hmm. It's fictional, and because of that, you're able to express hope. Hope also, it's a word that has, you know, not too much connection with what the reality is. Mm-hmm. You know, hope is, it's a little abstract, you know, as a concept, you know, philosophically speaking. But when you do something that, you know, it's fictional, then maybe you have the possibility at least to express that type of sentiment.
This idea of hope not having so much of a connection to reality. Are you saying that when you visited the West Bank, when you visited Gaza, you weren't really able to see, no, at least right now?
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes. These people have hope.
They have hope.
Especially the young generations. They wanna leave. They want to, you know, grow up. They want to learn. They want to study. They want to go to university. They want to become doctors, lawyers. That's what they want to do. At least the majority of them. And of course, there's different realities. There's people that they don't have that choice. They born in situation where they have to become something. That you know, kind of future there is already been set for them, and that's also a reality.
That was Italian-American director Laura Sly speaking there to Vatican Radio's Joseph Tulloch about his recent film, I Bambini di Gaza, or How Kids Roll, for which the late Pope Francis expressed his appreciation. The Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Visvaldas Kulbokas, has granted an interview to Vatican Radio following his first audience with Pope Leo XIV in the Vatican. Speaking to Svetlana Dukovic, he discussed the very consoling encounter, full of prayer, and he reflected on the dramatic situation in the war-torn country. Kelsey Gussie tells us more. Let's listen.
The Apostolic Nuncio to Ukraine, Archbishop Visvaldas Kulbokas, has described his first meeting with Pope Leo XIV as a deeply spiritual and consoling encounter, marked by prayer and sorrow over the ongoing war in Ukraine. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Svetlana Dukovic following the June 6th audience in the Vatican, the Archbishop said he prepared for the audience with a lot of prayer on his own, with his colleagues in Kyiv, and even more with former parishioners in Lithuania. He said it was important for him to feel the Pope's heart, just as it was important to share his own experiences during this time of war. He emphasized that prayer is our main weapon, and the Holy Father calls it the most powerful weapon of all. During their meeting, the Archbishop shared reports of a massive Russian attack on Kyiv, Chernobyl, Lutsk, and other cities the night before. He spoke of the hardships Ukrainians endure, like living without rest, without peace, and under constant alert. Archbishop Kulbokas noted that even in Kyiv, it's rare to have one or two nights a month without drone attacks. He described how soldiers on the front lines are not asking for medicine, but rather they ask for the forgiveness of their sins. At that moment, he said, no doctor or surgeon can help, only a chaplain or someone who prays. Despite the trauma, the Archbishop highlighted moving signs of humanity. He used the example of the soldiers who often donate part of their salaries to help their friends recover, calling it a witness to what humanity should be about, that is, helping one another. He also reflected on the role of the church, especially military chaplains who bring joy, hope, prayer to those in need. He shared that the soldiers have been consecrated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary and often distribute rosaries. The Archbishop concluded by affirming the Pope's role as a moral voice in a fractured world. He said even world leaders still turn to the Holy Father. This underlines not only the Church's relevance, but its duty to inspire action, sacrifice, and perseverance. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And staying with the war in Ukraine a moment, agencies saying that a prisoner exchange is underway between Russia and Ukraine. Governments in Moscow and Kyiv have confirmed. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky said the exchange would unfold in several stages over the coming days, adding that the wounded, seriously wounded, and soldiers under 25 were being returned. On Telegram, he wrote, the process is quite complicated. There are many sensitive details. Negotiations continue virtually every day. And Russia said a similar number of prisoners of war had been returned to Ukraine, though neither side provided an exact figure for how many people had been exchanged. And turning to Latin America, a Colombian presidential candidate is fighting for his life. James Bleers tells us more.
Senator Miguel Uribe Turbay, aged 39, of the Central Democrat Party, was shot in the head and left thigh. He's undergone neurosurgery and prayers are being said for his survival and recovery. The attack happened in a park in the capital, Bogota. A 15-year-old youth armed with a pistol has been arrested. He was injured in the leg and is being treated in another hospital. An investigation is underway. The senator's wife, Maria Claudia, said, Miguel's fighting hard for his life, and I ask each of you to keep praying. Former presidents Alvaro Uribe and Cesar Gaviria have visited the hospital, along with former Senator Ingrid Betancourt, who herself survived a kidnap ordeal. Miguel's grandfather, Julio Cesar, was president of Colombia. His mother, Diana, a journalist, was kidnapped by the Medellin drugs cartel run by Pablo Escobar and murdered when authorities tried to rescue her. The upcoming presidential election is on May the 31st. For Vatican Radio, James Blair's reporting.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, or more about the Jubilee for the Holy See, which took place today, visit vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch our latest updates on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Many thanks go to Alberto Giovanetti in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.